Hungry eyes and empty hands keep reaching out to me. I hear their cries for help down in my soul. The burden is so heavy, but I must keep pressing on till I see the lost sheep saved within the fold. Oh, harvest field, oh, harvest field, you'll take me to my grave. Every time I see you, I see souls I save. When I look into your eyes, it fills my heart with fear. For in my heart I realize you're the reason why I'm here. You're the reason why I'm here. God so loved the world he gave his only son for me. He shed his precious blood on Calvary. I can never thank the Lord enough for what he's done for me. So I must tell the lost world they too can be free. Oh, harvest field, oh, harvest field, you'll take me to my grave. For every time I see you, I see souls unsaved. When I look into your eyes, it fills my heart with fear. For in my heart I realize you're the reason why I'm here. You're the reason why I'm here. And when I look into your eyes, it fills my heart with fear. For in my heart I realize you're the reason why I'm here. You're the reason why I'm here.
The book of Jonah, chapter number 1. I'm going to read some scattered verses here, but they'll all be in the first chapter. 1 through 5 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Verse number 7, "And they said every one to his fellow, Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah." 12, "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Amen. I want to talk to us tonight. I don't know if you can fit it on the CD or not. A perfect opportunity to miss the will of God. a perfect opportunity to miss the will of God. This is a very, very popular account, especially among the children's Sunday school classes. But there's a lot in the book of Jonah that's applicable to us all through our lives. Amen? And I believe that there are more parties involved here than just Jonah and the Lord in the relationship of Jonah with God here and his disobedience to the call to go to Nineveh. His call as a preacher was one that couldn't be argued. Amen. He knew that he was called to give the word of the Lord. He knew that. And there's some that are not sure. The word of God tells us to make our calling and our election sure. Amen. To be sure about the callings that we say that we have on our life. But here, Jonah was fine with preaching the word of God. But he did not want to preach the word of God where God wanted him to go preach. Amen. It was a location issue. As we see here, just because God may call us does not instantly make us obey that call. Even though we may have a call on our life, we still have a choice, Brother Matt, to follow that call, to accept that call, and to fulfill the call of God in our life, or we can run and try to do something else. Amen. So he doesn't turn us into robots when he gives us a call. When he gives us a commission, he doesn't program us so that we do not have any other option but to do that. He does work circumstances sometime to try to make it look like we have no other option. But we all know in all reality, we can look at God and say, no. Amen. Jonah disobeyed, and instead of going to Nineveh, he went to the seaport and boarded a ship to Tarshish. I believe Jonah was a good man. Amen. I'm going to put Jonah tonight as a holiness preacher, a holiness young man, holiness preacher. He probably kept every ordinance that he knew. He probably kept everything that God had ever spoken. He probably kept everything that his pastor preached, his Sunday school teacher teach. But he disobeyed God in this one thing. Amen. We have to obey everything that God commands us to do. Amen. Even the things that may seem difficult. Even the things that we may not want to do. Even the things that we wish we didn't have to do. We must obey the word of the Lord. Amen. So he goes to the seaport and he boards this ship going to Tarshish. Now, don't be misled by verse number 3. Whenever it said, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I know that Jonah didn't believe that he could flee from God's presence. Amen. I don't believe that he thought that he could get away from God himself. We know that we can't, but sometimes we act like we can. Amen. I believe that see, in those days, the pagan gods, it was believed that they had limitations. They had boundaries. And that pagan god had no authority, had no reign over the boundary of in this area. That was for that pagan god. So somebody, a pagan, could actually run to another territory. But Jonah knew that he served the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness therein, and the worlds and they that dwell therein. Amen. We know tonight that we cannot flee from the presence of God. Jonah knew God was not like this, but maybe he was trying to place himself in such a distance from the work that God had called him to do that it would not be possible for him to get back and complete his mission. But, you know, trying to put God in a tough spot. Trying to put God in a corner. His conduct, I believe, was the same as Adam and Eve. Whenever they hid themselves, and the book of Genesis says, from the presence of the Lord. And God came walking in that garden in the cool of the day. And he called out unto them. He knew where they were. Amen. Where are you? Their shame of their sin had caused them to act so irrationally, to think that they could hide from God. Squat in the bushes and hide from God. Come on. God made the bush. Amen. You're not going to hide from Him. People do crazy things when they try to run from God. Irrational things whenever they're trying to run away from God's call in their life. And it's my prayer in this meeting tonight, these young people, you young people, listen, Brother Duncan has preached to you tonight and he has warned you about going the other way. But I'm going to tell you tonight, as he did, God has a way that he wants you to take. He has a way, a plan that he has laid out for your life. Hallelujah. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, you're there. We can't get away from it. We can't get away from it. There may be an adult here tonight that's struggling with God's will for your life, and you know what you ought to be doing, and you're trying to run, but you could probably stand up right now and say, Brother Darrell, you're right. Everything that I've tried to do to get my mind off of that call, I've tried to fly out into the sea, into the uttermost part. I've tried to ascend up into the heaven, make my bed in hell, but I found Him to be everywhere. I can't get away from it. Hallelujah. There is nowhere to run. There is nowhere to run. I guess the most expensive and long distance trip we can take right now is if we could talk NASA into letting us buy a ticket on one of those space shuttles and fly to the International Space Station. That International Space Station is just a little bit out of the atmosphere of the earth. Whenever you consider God made the universe and He made it all. Amen. Hallelujah. When God calls people to do some work in the church or some work in the kingdom of God or some specific thing, there are a couple of different reactions. One is they try to flee as far away from it as they can. And some have even left the church over being scared or worrying about the call that God has had on their life. Not only are you out of the will of God by leaving, but you're also proving to everybody else that you're running from God. Amen. Some think they have good reasons not to do God's will. Jonah, being a Hebrew, he knew the city of Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which hated Israel. They need to experience the judgment of God because of their hatred of God's people. And God, I would that you would pour the brimstone upon that city tonight. I would that you would judge those people for their hatred of you and your people, God, and your children. But regardless, God said, preach, preach, go to Nineveh and tell them and warn them. He didn't. He was disobedient unto God. There is no good reason not to do God's will in your life. It doesn't matter how much we try to explain our way out of it. It doesn't matter how much we try to prove to God that we're not qualified or we're not worthy or we're not this. You know, play the humble card. Oh God, I'm just not worthy to do that. I'm not worthy to be to stand behind that desk and preach. I'm not worthy to go and stand on that street corner and proclaim the gospel. I'm not worthy to do that. That is no excuse to run from the will of God. Hallelujah. So he went down to Joppa. This was the only seaport that Israel had until Herod built Caesarea Philippi about 100 years later. The only seaport for all of Israel. This was the closest one to them, the only one they had. And I'm sure with it being the only seaport, I'm using my imagination, it was probably crowded. There weren't any other options as far as shipping and all of that stuff goes and passenger boats and all of that. Everything was right there. Right there in Joppa. But Jonah, he was probably surprised whenever he got to Joppa. He's going down to Joppa and he's thinking in his mind, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Joppa. I'm going to get on a ship and I'm going to go to Tarshish. That's going the other way. I'm just going to put myself so far from this call to go to Nineveh. Maybe God will get tired of them while I'm gone and he'll burn them up while I'm out there on the ocean somewhere. Come back, check on it all later. So he's got in his mind to go to Joppa and find him a ship going to Tarshish. And you know what? He gets to Joppa and he gets to that busy seaport there and he's walking around them ships. And I can hear some captain hollering out, "We got space for one more and we're going to Joppa." Well, look at there. How about that? This can't be coincidence. I mean, I'm in the busiest seaport in all of Israel. I mean, everybody's here, and I'm sure everyone's wanting to go to, but they got room for one more. Man, that's got to be the will of God. Amen. It's got to be. Had to be God's will. That's how we act, ain't it? Oh man, that's such a coincidence. That's got to be God. So. Can I say right here that situations miraculously turning for you when you're trying to run from God doesn't mean that it's God. I believe there's another party involved. Amen. Can I say that Satan will always provide the transportation for you to get away from God's will? He'll always have a boat there waiting on you. It's always got just one more seat left, and this seat is by it now. It may not be available in a minute or two. You better get this ticket while you got the chance. Come on, get this ticket now, and the pressure's on, and you walk through that door of opportunity, and you're hoping in your mind that it's God. But if it's not what He's called you to do, if it's not what He's directing you to do, if it doesn't line up with this Word of God, if it's against what you know that the Spirit of God has led you to do, it's not God. Hallelujah. Some things just because opportunity knocks, it must be God. I like what Spurgeon said. He said, evil also has its mysterious providences, and it's not always right to do what seems to be convenient. Amen. Every door opened is not opened by God. You can even have a temporary peace about it. You know why I believe Jonah had that peace? Because he was going right where he wanted to go. He was doing right what he intended to do, and he was happy and he was peaceful doing it. He slipped into the deception of his own will. And he's in the bottom of this boat in the middle of a storm. I mean, the guys up top, they're worried to death. They know they're going to die. They done casting the stuff that they were hauling to make their living. They done thrown it overboard. And Jonah's asleep. You can't get more peaceful than that, can you? So he paid the fare. He paid the fare. It's well to note that there is always, always a price to pay for running from God. Always, young people. Once again, Brother Duncan's message tonight. Wow. You know, I have things in my life that I battle from my youth still. David, I think it was Psalm 25, I think, where David is praying and he says, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Now we know that whenever we're forgiven of a sin, by the grace of God, we're forgiven by God, that God does not remember that sin. Amen? He doesn't. It's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. But we do. We do. And David here is he's thinking of the regrets that he has in his life from his youth when he did that God would not have him to do. Or when he didn't do that God would have him to do. And the choices that you're making right now today in your life, as Brother Duncan said, it will affect you for the rest of your life, good or bad. You will never forget. You will never be able to wipe away the remembrance of the mistakes that you're going to make. I'm not going to say you're never going to make one, but if we can convince you tonight to avoid a few right here and right now, it's going to better you in the end, amen. It's best, instead of paying this world's fare and paying the devil's fare, it's best for you to go ahead and turn and go to Nineveh and do exactly what God tells you to. Hallelujah. Everybody pays a fare for running from God. Prodigal son figured he'd run off. He blew all of his inheritance. He's never going to get that inheritance back. He done got something that he should have got later in life to last him probably for the rest of his life. But as a young man, he blew it all, and he's going to have to live the rest of his life looking at his brother with his inheritance, enjoying his inheritance, living off of his inheritance, and the prodigal son doesn't have it because he blew it. Hallelujah. Judas, he paid a fare. He paid 30 pieces of silver. He got 30 pieces of silver, but whenever he betrayed Christ and the thought of what he'd done drove him to run back and beg them to take that blood money back. Take it back. Take it back. No, we don't want that. We've got what we want. And he threw them coins down, and every jingle of every coin that hit the floor said, "Traitor, traitor, 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 traitor." And his regret and his remorse drove him to run and hang himself. There's always a fare to pay. Always a fare to pay to run from God's will. Attempting to run away from God is like fleeing the light to stumble in the darkness. It's like giving up wealth to become poor. It's like leaving joy to have sorrow. It's like surrendering peace to hold to chaos and confusion. It's crazy. Hallelujah. Look what it brought Jonah. Right now, he's supposed to be preaching under God's anointing to a bunch of heathen people. You're talking about a missionary. He's supposed to be under the anointing, preaching to these people and praying that they would repent and turn from their wicked ways. But now his life is a wreck. It's at sea, and he's fearing for his life, and he's having to make a decision here in a minute that he should have never had to make. Hallelujah. The storm. We know God's in control of everything, even nature. And this storm that came up was not just a purposeless demonstration of God's power over nature. No, God caused this whole storm system for one man. It involved many men, and those men had to pay for Jonah's disobedience, losing the money that they would have made on the wares that they were hauling. It was that this storm was to bring Jonah to a point of breaking. The problem was Jonah, like I said, he wasn't the only one to face the storm. Whenever you run from God, you are not the only one that it affects. I know disgruntled preachers that their families can't stand to live with them. They're disgruntled because they miss God. They didn't follow God. Whenever you run from God, those who are closest to you suffer. While running, your attitude and your disposition, whenever you're around those who are in God's will, becomes cantankerous and ill. You ever see anybody like that? I have. You're miserable. So you knowingly or unknowingly make everybody around you miserable. But these men, heathen men, they served other gods. They done prayed to their gods. But look at this. Even the heathen men, in their compassion, did everything they could not to throw Jonah overboard. You see, Jonah told them, it's me. If you'll throw me overboard, the seas will calm. But they rowed harder. Oh, no, we can't do that, man. What's wrong with you? We can't do that. We can't throw you overboard. And I could picture this scenario playing out in the lives of those who are running from God, running from His will. And the people that are closest to Him. I think of the pastors. I was a youth pastor, like I said, 10 years. And I'm working with many, many young people through those 10 years. And many of those young people who had to jump ship, who thought they had to jump ship, had to be thrown overboard. I rowed as hard as I could, Brother Head. I did everything that I could to keep them from going. I did everything that I could to keep them from having to go that way. And the pastors and the youth pastors and the Sunday school teachers and the mamas and the daddies and the family members that are praying and seeking God on your behalf, that you would just obey Him, that you would just follow His will. It's affecting more than you. People may care about you, but they can't help you when you run from God. All we can do is pray. We can beg and we can plead, but we cannot drive you into the will of God. We cannot make you do the will of God. But all, so they threw Jonah overboard. You know the story. All was not over. Good news, Jonah didn't die. God, He didn't exactly have a little lifeboat waiting on Him at the bottom. He didn't have a lifeguard inner tube waiting on Him at the bottom. Didn't have a jet ski waiting on Him at the bottom. It was a fish that God prepared just for this man. Had that fish prepared there waiting on Him. When they threw Jonah overboard, you know that fish swallowed Jonah. In chapter 2, verse 3, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, for thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I wonder what life is like in a fish's belly. It's dark, hard to see. All you can do when running from God in that darkness is just wander aimlessly and stumble and fall and trip because you can't see. It's distant. I mean, that fish is down in that ocean. So far away from everything. You know, that alone in a crowded room feeling. That feeling of when everyone else is shouting and having such a joyous time in church and you just kind of feel all alone. It's cold. The fish is a cold-blooded creature. No warmth, no comfort, no peace. Tangled. The weeds wrapped around the head. You find yourself so easily tangled up in things that you know you shouldn't be tangled up in. Things that are binding you down and holding you down. All of this because you want to run from God. What now? Then Jonah prayed. From the belly of a fish in the ocean. In the sea, He prayed and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Jonah, for old Jonah knew he was in hell. Oh, he cried out of the belly of hell. But the word says here, and thou heardest my voice. Although Jonah had wandered so far away from God, trying to flee from him, all along what Jonah didn't know was that fish was headed in one direction, just where God told it to go. It was headed back to Nineveh to take him back where he was supposed to be. And he spit Jonah out on the shore there. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And the word of God says, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that God's reaching for Jonah in his time of rebellion, in his time of disobedience, worked, amen. And it broke Jonah and brought him to the place where he could turn and do the will of God. And tonight, I believe that God is bringing somebody back, trying to bring you back where you started. Yeah, you've probably been affected by the journey away from God and back. But tonight I can tell you, he'll give you another chance to heed that call. He'll give you another chance. There are others in the Bible who disobeyed and never got the chance that Jonah got. Don't take this service tonight for granted. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Maybe it's a call tonight to just trust him with your life. To quit trying to work your life out the way you want it to be. And just surrender your life and lay it in the hands of the master potter. Amen. And be as that clay in the hands of the potter. Brother Darrell, but I don't know exactly what the will of God is for my life yet. I'm still a young person. That's okay. I thought Brother Ralston was going to hit this the other night. He did hit it. Briefly. And I wish he'd have went on with it. But you know, I worked a secular job. Worked in construction. Working with a buddy of mine. We were both preachers. We'd run revivals together and stuff. And man, we loved it. We'd fast lunch break together. The Holy Ghost, I mean, just meet us on that job site. I remember one time we was on a job site at a big metal scrap yard. We was building them a building and had to keep steel-toe boots and hard hat and all that stuff on. And during lunch, me and that boy fasted that day, and we was in the Bible reading and praying, and we got to praying, and the Lord just got to moving. The Holy Ghost hit the cab of my old truck. We fell out of that truck. One of us took a cross running across that job site. Here's all these big, burly construction workers and this little 18-year-old kid running across that job site wide open. Another one, he's down on his knees with his hands up to heaven, speaking in tongues, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost moving on us on that job site. And Brother Jeff, I remember us talking. I remember we was up on some scaffolding. We was forming up for a lintel. And I said, man, I just can't wait to lay this old hammer drill down. I can't wait to lay this nail bag down. He said, man, I know it. He said, one day I can see us when we're full time, and all the time that we have to put into work here, put that 8 hours in a day at work here, we're going to put that time in prayer and study. Well, we were talking big. In 2005, January 2005, the Lord called me into full-time ministry. You know what I found, Brother Bridges? There wasn't some magic switch that flipped. There was no lightning bolt from heaven. There was no immediate change in me. I woke up that next Monday morning, and instead of going to church or instead of going to work, being at work at 7 o'clock, I was at the church at 7 o'clock. Had to be. We had morning prayer meeting every morning. But I found out that it was just as hard for me to pray It was just as, I had to discipline myself just the same as I did before to study, because there's always something to take your time, always something to demand your time. And what I found is that I knew it was the will of God for me to one day be full-time in the ministry, Brother Blankenship. And I figured that when that day come, man, everything's just going to change and it's just going to be natural to me. I was praying about this one day, looking ahead for what I feel that God would have us to do one day. And I was praying about that. And God spoke to me something so simple, but to me at that time it was profound. He has to talk to me simple. And he said, "You are what you will always be unless you change. What you are right now, you will always be unless you change." Young people, if you're in and out and up and down now, unless you change now, you're going to be in and out and up and down tomorrow. And you keep going and you're going to make one of the adults that we have to deal with that's in and out and up and down. If you don't seek the Lord now, you're not going to seek him 10 years from now unless you change. If you don't change now, you're never going to change. Are you happy with what you are? Adults, are we happy with the life that we're living before God? Do we know that we're fulfilling the will of God in our life? Brother Darrell, I don't know what that will is. Well, good, I can tell you what the will of God for your life is. It's for you to live holy. It's for you to seek him. It's for you to bury yourself in his word. And he will order your steps and put you exactly where he wants you. And you can look back in 10 years and say, "I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am in the perfect will of God." But it's got to start right now. You can't live haphazardly in your spiritual life now and expect to make somebody for God one day. You got to dedicate yourself now. And whenever that time does come, when God says, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh," it's going to be a natural reaction because you're used to his voice. You're used to what his voice sounds like. You know what his call sounds like. And instead of going down to Joppa and trying to find you a ship to take you away from the will of God, you'll find yourself walking towards Nineveh. Hallelujah. Doing exactly what he's called you to do because you have that relationship. Hallelujah. So maybe the devil's laid before you a perfect opportunity to miss the will of God. Don't get on that ship. It's not God's will for you to go to the liberal church. It's not God's will for you to go with the liberal youth group on their trips. It's not God's will for you to date somebody, come on, who is not holiness in heart. They may look it, but if they ain't in heart, you got trouble on your hands. It ain't God's will. What God's will is for you to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and on fire for God. And then you just follow God and he's going to link you up with the one. And you'll know it because they'll be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. On fire for God. They'll be seeking God's will in their life like you're seeking God's will in your life. And then one day you'll be completing God's will together. Amen. Can I get some amens from mom and daddy? Do we believe that? Amen. It ain't God's will for you to date everything around, even in the church. Amen. Don't take that ship. Pray and seek God and know his voice. Learn the voice of God. Listen to the counsel of the pastor, to the counsel of the teacher. As long as they're not getting out of this book, they'll be giving you good counsel. Amen. Especially our pastors here. We know these pastors. And learn the voice of God to keep from missing the opportunity to be in the will of God. And two, tonight we may have a Jonah here that's in the bottom of that fish's belly and says, "Man, it sure is dark. It's cold, it's distant, and I'm tangled up And I sure would like to be freed tonight. I believe that we can if we would just surrender and do what he told us to do and cry to the Lord. He'll hear us. Amen. Stand with me tonight if you will.